He tai e, he tai e, he tai e tangi ana I waho o Rehua, he tai mate au e e te kīngi. Te aroha nui o o iwi o tō waka o te iwi Māori e māpuna ake nei I taku ngā kaupauri. Au e te mamai I te iwi e.
Tributes are flowing from across Aotearoa and around the world after Kīngi Tuheitia Pōtatau Te Whiriwhiri the 7th died on Friday morning.
Moe mai rā e te kīngi.
A question as old as 1840.
The position is very clear. The Crown, was it Māori ceded sovereignty to the Crown?
No, we didn't cede.
They did cede sovereignty.
No, Māori did not cede sovereignty.
The treaty was entirely about giving sovereignty.
Māori did not cede sovereignty.
Kia ora, ko Lillian Hanley aho, anei te pūrongo tōranga pū mō tēnei wiki. Welcome to Focus on Politics, I'm Lillian Hanley.
Does the Prime Minister believe that Māori ceded sovereignty?
Our position is that the Crown is sovereign.
When did Māori cede sovereignty?
6th of February, I just say to the member, we have a Treaty of Waitangi as the founding document of New Zealand. In there is protection for both Crown and Māori interests. But as I said to you, the position is very clear. Māori cede sovereignty to the Crown.
That was Christopher Luxon during question time last week. Before that, Mr. Luxon had been willing only to say that the Crown was sovereign. The following day, Labour leader Chris Hipkins took the opposing view, a position neither he nor his predecessor Jacinda Ardern ever put on the record while in power.
I accept the overwhelming body of literature that suggests that Māori did not cede sovereignty. Having said that, sovereignty was clearly taken.
This isn't a new position for all opposition parties. The Greens and Te Pāti Māori have long held that view.
No, Māori did not cede sovereignty. I mean, that was founded 10 or so years ago by the Waitangi Tribunal, but it's also well reflected in the likes of the United Nations approach. Whenever there is a treaty that is signed between a colonising force and Indigenous peoples, it's the Indigenous version of the text that's the legitimate one.
No, we didn't cede, and I think the fact that we're still here is evident that we didn't cede. I think this is a discussion that we're having with people who lack the knowledge to be involved in this discussion and this debate.
The coalition partners, ACT and New Zealand First, see that debate as a distraction and stand with their Prime Minister.
The treaty was about the Queen taking sovereignty of New Zealand in agreement with the signatories of the treaty. But I also believe it's a bit of a side show because ultimately we're all here now, we've all got to live together, there's one government. The idea is that we want to maximise each person's ability to flourish on their own terms.
It's in all the comment of leading Māori scholars all the way to Ngata, that they did cede sovereignty and they had a reason to, and to try to deny that now is to impose a view of history which is false, convenient and simply not going to be conducive to a united country going forward.
Mr. Peters is referencing a thesis by Sir Apidana Ngata from 1922, where he writes about the first article of the treaty as transferring the, quote, authority of the Māori chiefs for making laws for their respective tribes and sub-tribes under the Treaty of Waitangi to the Queen of England forever, end quote. Since then, the debate has waged on. In 2014, a Waitangi tribunal report found Māori did not cede sovereignty. The Northern Iwi who presented evidence for that report are not happy with the Prime Minister. Ngāti Hine and Ngāti Manu penned an open letter saying his comments are misleading and that they're deeply frustrated by his disregard for the truth. But the Prime Minister isn't backing down.
I appreciate there are different views from iwi across New Zealand about what happened in 1840, but the Crown acquired sovereignty through the Treaty of Waitangi and subsequent proclamations.
Legal academics and treaty experts have grappled with the text of the treaty for decades. Professor Claire Charters from the University of Auckland and Carwin Jones from Te Wānanga o Raukawa are two of those experts.
Could you just give us, I guess, a bit of an outline around this issue of whether sovereignty was ceded or not?
I think the question of whether sovereignty was ceded or not comes up, especially because the Crown claims to have sovereignty, and it claims to have sovereignty, or has historically claimed to have sovereignty, under the Treaty of Waitangi being a cession of sovereignty. The problem is that that claim or that myth is simply not true, because Māori did not cede sovereignty under Te Tiriti o Waitangi.
Mr. Jones points to the different translations of the treaty as cause for confusion.
Part of the issue comes from that people often look at the English text which I think we can think of as a draft of what actually becomes the functional agreement, Te Tiriti. But people look at the English text and see the language of sovereignty used there, and talks about in the English text sovereignty going to the British Crown. But of course, that's not what Te Tiriti says. Te Tiriti talks about kāwanatanga going to the Crown, and so that's a different idea than sovereignty. That talks about functions of government. But even when you look at Article 2 of Te Tiriti, you can see that what's being guaranteed to Māori is tino rangatiratanga, that absolute authority of the rangatira. We often think about that as being self-determination or independence. Now, that's an idea which is actually much more like sovereignty. So that's being retained by Māori. And so it would be inconsistent with that guarantee for Māori to have ceded sovereignty in Te Tiriti.
So which version should be referred to?
So you do have two different texts. You have the English language version and you've got the Te Reo Māori version. And under law, the Te Reo Māori version will always take precedence as a matter of law, of international law, but also British common law. The Latin name called contra preferentum. So it is the Te Reo version of Te Tiriti or Waitangi that is the authoritative version.
How have we come to an understanding about those sorts of those different positions in terms of where we are now, acknowledging that that may not have been the case?
When we look at the texts of Te Tiriti, and I think one of the issues that we've come to understand better is to think about the fact that we're not actually trying to reconcile an English text and a Māori text, but rather we can focus in on what the meaning of the Te Reo Māori text is, what the meaning of Te Tiriti is. And that's because that was the text that almost all the rangatira who signed the Te Reo text. And more significantly, perhaps, all the discussion around what the meaning of this agreement was going to be took place in Māori. And so what was described from the records that we have, and the Waitangi Tribunal goes into this in some detail in its report on stage one of Te Paparahi o Te Raki Inquiry, the Northland report, goes into quite some detail about the meaning of Te Tiriti, particularly in the context also of 1835 Declaration of Independence, Te Whakaputanga, and looks at what the record of the discussion we have, and that discussion tends to focus around that authority of kāwanatanga that goes to the Crown is intended to be an authority over the Crown's own people who were in Aotearoa at the time. So it's an authority over British settlers. It's a function of government, but governance over the Pākehā population.
And that is becoming increasingly well known. I think there has been a maturity in the public in recognising that colonisation was wrong, has caused tremendous historic grievance. And part of that is, you know, facing up to our history. The claim by the Crown to sovereignty is not based on law or any sort of legitimate justification.
Last week, Christopher Luxon said Māori ceded sovereignty. Why do you think he said that?
I think he's just perpetuating this myth that has existed as sort of a self-justificatory explanation as why the Crown claims sovereignty. But there was never a cession of sovereignty. That's simply not true. They exercise sovereignty, but they do that as a pure force, in fact. At the end of the day, it was pure force, right? Outnumbering Māori and with the ability to militarily, forcefully exercise authority, but it was never ceded legally or legitimately.
What are the ramifications of the head of our government saying that?
Well, I think it is concerning that demonstrates a kind of fundamental misunderstanding of New Zealand's constitutional history. Concern that I would have about that is that he's actually, by undermining the meaning of Te Tiriti, he's also undermining, you know, New Zealand's constitutional foundations and, in fact, the legitimacy of the Crown's exercise of governmental power.
So what do ministers in the coalition think?
Do you believe Māori ceded sovereignty or was it taken?
Well, I think you and I and others have had a long conversation on that, and I sit in the pocket of the Prime Minister's comments.
Yes, I agree with the Prime Minister. The Crown is sovereign.
But was sovereignty taken or ceded?
The Crown has sovereignty over New Zealand.
How did they get it?
And it was done through the Treaty of Waitangi.
I believe that the treaty needs a good debate.
What are you actually talking about? Because that question, without context, I think is very amateur.
Why do you think it's so difficult to answer?
Because if you're part of the governmental structure that claims sovereignty, it's very hard to say, well, you don't have it. Right, because you're part of the government, the Crown structure that claims sovereignty, so you argue yourself out of existence, or your authority out of existence.
But Chris Hipkins isn't going quite that far.
You've been asked about this quite a bit already in acknowledging that Māori did not cede sovereignty. Why didn't you say that when you were Prime Minister?
Look, I mean, I didn't actually think it was a particularly large revelation. It was stuff that we learned about when we were at school, the different versions of the treaty, the different understandings of the treaty, and then all of the things that happened subsequent to that, where sovereignty was effectively taken by the Crown. We learned a lot about that both at school and, of course, if you study it beyond that, as I did at university. I don't think it was a particularly big revelation. I think what people like David Seymour is trying to do is disingenuous of suggesting that that means that the Crown and the Parliament therefore is illegitimate. I've never made that claim. You know, we have one government and one Parliament in New Zealand now, but I think we should also be honest about our history. And our history was certainly not that Māori ceded sovereignty, it was that it was taken.
In terms of acknowledging it now, what do you plan to do about it?
Well, I think it's relevant in the contemporary debate that we're having around things like the Treaty Principles Bill. If you look at the history we've made as a country over the last 40 or 50 years, including in areas like, you know, the treaty principles and areas around redress, it is a recognition of the fact that bad things happened around the time of the signing of the treaty and subsequent to that. And we need to remedy that, we need to rectify that, we need to find a way of moving forward on that.
Ex-David Seymour is the architect of the much-debated Treaty Principles Bill.
So do you think Māori ceded sovereignty or was it taken?
I don't really think that there's an important answer to that. I think what does matter is that New Zealand is able to go forward as a country together where all people have the same basic rights. Now, there'll be people who will argue that the treaty meant that sovereignty was being given, kawangatanga, to the British Crown. There will be people who will argue that it wasn't. I'm on the side that the treaty was entirely about giving sovereignty to the British Crown. That is what happened.
You do want a debate around the treaty principles or the issues of the treaty and what it means in the context of today.
That's for sure.
So when you say that this conversation is a sideshow, then this is also part of that debate, you could argue.
Well, I'd argue that talking about was it taken or was it ceded is exactly the kind of debate that we've had for too long. It doesn't help ask questions about how do people go forward and flourish together 2024 and beyond through to 2040 and past that.
Carwin Jones sees it as an opportunity to have a conversation about the relationship between kāwanatanga and tino rangatiratanga.
Got an option here of thinking about whether we continue a coercive and oppressive state of the Crown's assertion of sovereignty, or whether we do that in a way which actually recognises the agreement that was entered into in 1840 in Te Tiriti o Waitangi.
With Chris Hipkins saying now that Māori did not cede sovereignty, what does that mean? What are the ramifications of that?
He talked about progress made over the last four or five decades and greater realisation of Māori rights. I think he sees that progress is partly goes towards trying to remedy the wrong of the illegitimate claim to sovereignty and try and find a way forward where you recognise some authority of Māori and also Māori rights as trying to, trying to remedy in some way that the legitimacy of that claim to sovereignty and other consequences of colonisation.
Te Pāti Māori co-leader Debbie Ngāriwa-Packer is curious about Chris Hipkins' timing, given Labour had plenty of opportunity to make change.
Because there were times when there were really good opportunities for discussion with He Puapua, entrenching Māori seats, advancing the Wai Kaupapa, when they were going through infrastructure with Three Waters, that could have been led. And so it's interesting to see that now it's politically palatable to come on this kaupapa and support things that Te Pāti Māori have been saying for a really, really long time. This is so much more than political parties trying to get points. This actually has to be having vision of what Aotearoa should and could be, which is why we start the kōrero of, you know, Te Ngako o Te Iwi and the Māori Parimata.
That's her party's policy of a Māori parliament, which they say wasn't their idea, but comes from various Māori leaders and Māori rights movements, as well as the constitutional discussion document, Matike Mai.
Putting that kōrero out there and to have wānanga is to be able to sort and say, well, what is the alternative if we keep going this way, whether it be blue or red, the legacy parties? What could it be? And more importantly, not what we think, what do you, inside your own tino ranga tiratanga, think it should look like?
The debate over tino ranga tiratanga and sovereignty and how they're asserted in Aotearoa will only continue to evolve, as it's always done. That's Focus on Politics. I'm Lillian Hanley. Thank you for joining me. Mā te wā.